This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May the 26th, episode 666. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. From all of us at the Horses in the Morning Show and the Horse Radio Network, we salute all of those brave warriors who have fought and died for us. We pray for you and your families. We also thank all of you who served to protect our freedoms and by God's grace are here with us today. We can pursue our passions for horses, love, and family thanks to you. I've put together a very special Memorial Day episode for you today. I scoured the internet for clips that inspired me for this special day. Memorial Day means a lot to Jamie, Jennifer, and I. My dad served during the Korean War. Jamie's married to an airman. Jennifer's brother retired as one of the oldest Green Berets. And we have both have family that serve and have served in the past. I hope you enjoy the show today. I spent a lot of time to make it special and searching for the various clips that I found. So we hope that you find it moving, meaningful, and it helps you remember those that this day is for.
For many people, Memorial Day marks the beginning of summer, but for millions of American families, it holds a much deeper meaning. It is that day we set aside solemnly to remember the brave who did not make it home, to celebrate their courage, mourn their loss, and appreciate what they did to make this country a safer place. Sadly, more than 6,000 names have been added to that roll call in the last 10 years. Please take a moment to remember them and their families. Thank you.
United States Coast Guard.
Every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
United States Navy!
if we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors here on Horses in the Morning for their continued support of Horses in the Morning, especially on Mondays, Omega Alpha Equine. Omega Alpha Equine and Dr. Chang and the gang over there have been terrific supporters of our shows, and we would ask that you would please support our sponsors. Visit OmegaAlphaEquine.com, check out their products, see what they have. I think that you will like what you find there. Their products really do work. Jamie and I have both used them. And we just hope that if you really enjoy the programming here on the Horse Radio Network, that you will take time out to support our sponsors. And I know many of you do, and I thank you for that. And we thank you, our listeners, for your continued support as well.
I lived in a community where there was about 30 boys that went into the service. My brother Bill, he wanted to go in so bad. He was in the Air Force, along with my other two brothers. They were in the Air Force also. They were all three pilots. He went over to the South Pacific on the mission that he went on. He got shot down on Christmas Eve. We got the message. And Bill was killed. It's a beautiful thing to know, even though in the midst of sadness and despair, that your loved ones perished so that we might have the freedoms we have. I would like to express my thanks to all the people, all the men and women that have served our country and have perished so that we might have the freedoms that we have today.
Common faith that man shall know bread and peace, that he shall know justice and righteousness, freedom and security, an equal opportunity and an equal chance to do his best, not only in our own lands, but throughout the world. And in that faith, let us march. March toward the clean world our hands can make. Amen.
This is Private First Class Sammy Davis. He was wounded under intense enemy fire in Cay Lai, Vietnam, on November 19, 1968. He received the Medal of Honor for what he did in this fight, and I think you'll find it fascinating and riveting. And it was this source material, what he talks about in this battle, that was used for the film Forrest Gump in the Vietnam scene.
On November 18, 1967, Davis's unit was airlifted to a tiny island in the Mekong Delta near Cai Lai, Vietnam. American infantrymen were already heavily engaged in the area when Davis and his fellow gunners arrived.
So we landed at 8 o'clock in the morning. As soon as we spread the trails on the 105 howitzer, we started firing. And we fired the weapon all day. Just before dark, the enemy broke contact, so therefore we were able to quit firing. And a helicopter, one of our helicopters, came in and sat down, and a major got out. And he said, "Your probability of getting hit tonight is 100%. So prepare yourselves." He got back in his helicopter, and away he went. At 2 o'clock exactly, and I remember because I looked at my watch, we heard mortars sliding down the tube, which is a very distinctive sound. And to hear them sliding down the tube, you got to be pretty close. And I said immediately, I said, "Well, when did we move in mortars?" And Hart said, "We didn't." The mortars were just raining down. And at 2:30 exactly, the mortars quit. It was this eerie, eerie quiet. We looked at each other, and we heard whistles being blown like a coach has, and orders being shouted in English. And basically what they were saying was, "Go kill the GI. Sergeant Gant said, "Okay, boys, this is it." So we grabbed a beehive round, set it on muzzle action, loaded it in the tube, and we were standing there at our position ready for him. I was waiting for Sergeant Gant to tell me to fire. Now, I knew not to fire until he said fire, no matter what was happening, and I could see the enemy all around us. They were doing mass assault waves. Then he said fire, and I pulled the lanyard. Well, the weapon went off, did its job, but the enemy had set up a rocket right across the river from me. And when I fired, they fired at my muzzle blast. When it hit the shield, it blew me off the piece. It also hit Sergeant Gant right in the chest. And the last thing I can remember was Sergeant Gant just disappearing into the darkness. Well, the enemy started turning my howitzer around, supposedly to fire, turn it and fire it at our guys. If I'd been awake, I would have known that our next gun back was going to fire a beehive round. Standing rule is you never let the enemy take control of the weapon. You know, common sense. But I was unconscious. So when the enemy started picking my howitzer up to fire it, Bill Few from Rising Sun, Ohio, fired the beehive. A beehive round effectively turns the 105 howitzer into a shotgun. It fires 18,000 little darts, beehive darts. From mid-thigh up to and including my fourth lumbar vertebra, I had about 30 beehive holes that just passed through me. I had a flak jacket on, which is the only thing that saved my back. When they fired the beehive at me, it woke me up, and I rolled over, and I rolled face up in the bottom of my foxhole, and I'm looking up, and I could see all these pretty lights going right over the top of my foxhole, and I thought, wow, it's just like Christmas. My hearing went like turning the stereo from 0 to 50. You know, went from hearing nothing within just a very short period of time. It got loud enough that the smoke started clearing out of my head, and I'm starting to realize what's happening, and those weren't just pretty lights, they were tracers. So I kind of raised up on one elbow, and I looked down, and there was 150 to 200 enemy right there. Well, I picked up my M16. I had 12 clips, which is roughly about 180 rounds. And I started doing my job as a soldier. It was just like living in a bad dream. You know, no matter what I did, it's like I wasn't doing nothing to them. It was a reinforced battalion. It was 1,500 against 42 kids. And they just kept coming. Well, I fired the last rounds, and I didn't think that I was probably going to see daylight, but I wasn't going to quit. You know, because I thought, well, if I don't do my job, those guys behind me ain't got a chance. So I thought, well, I'll see if I can get off one round from the howitzer. So I scrounged around, found a beehive round, set it on muzzle action, found the canister that had not been fired, had to find the powder because we'd had everything set up nice and orderly, and naturally the mortars had blown everything askew. Now the enemy's still doing their job. I mean, they're everywhere. So I was having to hide and lay in the water, and they'd run over me. And finally, when I found all the components and I loaded the piece, I pulled the lanyard. The gun didn't go off. When I pulled the lanyard, it went pop, and my heart just sunk, you know, because this was my last effort. But I could feel the gun kind of going. And then it went off, and it went boom. I had overcharged it. Figured I was only going to get one round. I wanted it to be maximally effective. So I filled the canister full of loose powder. Later they told me, says, yeah, man, we thought that you had rigged up some kind of big flamethrower or something because of all that wet powder. That's why it didn't go off immediately. Well, I was still alive. I thought, well, maybe I can get off one more round. Well, I one more rounded it until I had heard someone across the river shouting, don't shoot, I'm a GI. And I seen Gwendell Holloway, my brother, standing up waving these boonie hats saying, don't shoot, I'm a GI. And I said, my God, somebody's got to go get him. By this point, my body was in real feeble condition, and I knew I couldn't just run down there and swim across the river. So I thought, well, I'll find an air mattress. That's what the Army had given us to sleep on. So I crawled down to the river, swam across the river, stashed the air mattress in the bushes, and started making back to where I'd last seen Gwendell standing. There was a foxhole there. And instead of just one man being in it, there were three men in it. Well, I knew I didn't have the strength to make three trips. It had taken me about 45 minutes to make that trip over to that point. And I was just getting so tired. So I asked the man above to give me the strength to carry all three of my brothers at one time.
Despite his massive injuries and the unremitting ferocity of the Viet Cong attack, Davis made two agonizing trips across the river, shuttling his wounded companions to relative safety.
They pulled Jim up on the bank and started doing what they could for him. And I started crawling back to help Bill Fuse guys when I came across my Mino Sergeant again. About half his body was in water, had this big hole in his chest, and he couldn't talk, but he picked his hand up. And I thought, my sergeant wants me to hold his hand. So I kind of crawled up and I grabbed a hold, and I still was hoping that he was going to tell me what to do next, you know. And I grabbed a hold of his hand and I looked down in his eyes. The light bulb that comes on in your head that your daddy always told you about, the light bulb came on. All these things that he had, you know, polishing the bullet, the beehive round setting the time fuse on it, setting out in 100 degree heat with a blindfold. Sergeant Gant shared with us the things that he knew was going to help us survive. And when I looked down his eyes, I knew that he didn't hate me, that he loved me. You got to love somebody a whole lot to pick on them and teach them things. Jim Dyster was one of the last people that we loaded on the helicopters. He was with our dead. The medic in the helicopter seen a bubble come up through the chest wound that Jim had in his chest. He'd been shot in the chest also. And took his stethoscope off and put it on his heart and had a heartbeat. And Jim Dyster is alive and well today, living in Salina, Kansas. I got to hold Jim Dyster's grandbabies. What an awesome feeling, knowing that if I hadn't done my job when I was just a kid, that this precious little thing would not be here. There were 11 of us left standing that morning out of the 42 that started, 12 counting me. The other 11 men are the men that put me in for this. I didn't do anything heroic. I did my job. That's what soldiers do. And if there was one of these given that night, there should be at least 42 of them. Because if any one of us had not done their job, there would be none of us alive. It sounds silly, perhaps, to say that I went to war and found out about love. What real love is? You know, I didn't go to war to kill people. I went to war because I loved my daddy. I wanted him to be proud of me. I went to war because I love my grandpas, and I love my country. And when I got over there, the reason why we fought so hard was because we discovered we loved each other, that we were all we had. And they became brothers. We became brothers. And that's lasted up, you know, it's been 36 years, and those men that I fought with are still my brothers. So I learned about what real love is.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Enjoy your holiday, and I hope you enjoyed this special short episode of Horses in the Morning in honor of all of those who served and serve for us currently.
God's praise.